Church Unusual, welcome class, Matthew chapter 16. The word church is only in the New Testament, let's see, it's 79 times Jesus only said it twice. There's only two times Jesus referred to the churches. One time in Matthew 16, which we're going, another time he says, you know, if the people don't hear you or they don't want to hear you, tell it to the church. And if you neglect to hear the church, then let him be as a heathen or made publican, right? I look up the word church. You got to realize that the gospels are written. They were written in Greek. We were translated into English, so we'll go back to the Greek meaning. I hit church, and I want to read it to you just so you can see. And I've said this before, but it's the word ecclesia, which means a calling out, right? And then it goes, because we're reading Bible and because it comes from a Jewish or Hebrew background, it says of a religious organization, Jewish synagogue, Christian community. And it's called a gathering of citizens out of their homes into some public place or an assembly of people. So that's why there are other kinds of churches. So just when you say church, because it's been branded to be with Christianity more than anything, doesn't mean that church is a Christian word. The word church is a calling out of a group of people. So the way they would have church is not like we would have church, the weekly services of Sunday right now, and then, you know, midweek service or revivals or different things we do. We get that, and you just got to bear with me, we get that from Catholic Mass. They meet on they met on Saturdays, they meet once a week. Even all the singing, it comes from that derivative, the Roman Catholic Church. If you do any research, after Jesus dies, some years after, Christianity spread so much that the Roman emperor becomes a Christian, not because he was so converted, and I don't know the man, never knew the man as before me, but because Christianity was taken over, it became the popular wave, and it was able to keep all the people docile. Keep the people calm and say, hey, thus said the Lord. Thus you have the Roman Catholic Church. You do research about that. And everything that we see as church right now, all the way that we do it, the way we sit in seats and everything is derived from that derivative. It just comes straight from that. Where we sing, all of those different things. I digress on that. But churches are calling out. It's an assembly. So the way they used to have church was, the Paul, when you read from Paul, Romans on out, those were letters written to the church. So what would happen is, they would get the letters from Paul, and the Paul was only responding to things that were written to him already a lot of times. So that's why you say, I heard of dot, 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 and he starts to answer it, right? So now what they would do is call an assembly. All the people would come on out, and somebody would read. It would be like a sermon, but somebody would read to the congregation, and that would be church. It's not that they met every week. It's not that they had classes or whatever every week, but it was a gathering, right? And here's another part of the definition. They got derivatives. It's derived from, so the ecclesia, the beginning of it is ex, and it means, you know, out from, away from, like pulling something out of something, like external, right? Right? Like a example, like something that's outside that you can see, a sample that's outside, is out, right? And then it comes from another derivative of the word. The next one is kaleo. That's the second part of it. And it means a call. And it means to call aloud. To call, to name, to call by name, to be called or to bear a name or to salute one's name. So that means to be called by a name or a character, to be called from something, right? So now here we are, and it says to give somebody a name. So now ecclesia means to be called by a name. You're called out by a name, the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. You're called out by a name. So this is what church is, right? So now church has turned into ritual and turned into a set of things and turned into organization. It's turned into a social club when it was actually the live, organic gathering of individuals to find out what God is saying. All right? There's several other times it's used, but Jesus only used it two times. And the one time that he really starts talking about building the church is in Matthew chapter 16. You know, we've been reading this before, and this class won't be very long at all. We've been reading this before, but he says, in verse 13, Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi. He asked disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Now remember, he's beginning with identity. He does not begin with organization. He does not begin with principle. He does not begin with anything else. He begins with identity. Who do men say I, the Son of Man, am? And they say, some say thou art John the Baptist, and Elias, and others, Jeremiah, and one of the prophets. They're telling you what the street's saying. They were not. They wouldn't know that unless they're talking to these people all day long. That's a whole nother conversation, right? He said, but whom say you that I am? So now he's asking personally about identity. Okay, I know who they think I am, And I know who you've been hearing that I am, but who do you personally, see, he makes it personal, say that I am? And Simon Peter jumps out the crowd, you know, and you got to watch these guys, man. I like, you know, if you're church on users are using the Living by Book class, I like Living by the Book. And I take it for what it is, man. I don't really deify these guys in the Bible because I know they're humans just like me. And I start seeing the other person, Peter, jump out because, you know, they always trying to figure out who the best one. So like, me, pick me. I got the answer. You know what I'm saying? Like we do used to do in school. So here Peter jump out and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him, he said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood is not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. In other words, you wouldn't know this unless it was revealed to you, right? And I say, you got to catch this, and I've said this before in other classes, I say also unto thee. Nobody says that unless they're saying something that before. I can't say also unto thee unless I'm adding, also means I'm adding whatever, or I'm saying that whatever was said before to thee. So now I'm saying, and I say also unto thee that thou art Peter. And there's a comma right there, so it means pause. Think about that. Thou art what, Peter? He didn't say thou art Peter because he knew his name was Peter. He wasn't naming him again. And he just called him Simon Bar-Jonah. So he wasn't naming him again. So why he say, thou art Peter? And you know, Peter means, Petros means a rock. But he says, you too, Peter. You the Christ too. You just don't know it. And upon this rock, this revelation of who you are, I will build my church. Now, if you're not catching it, and they did this in the book of Acts, if you're not catching it, Peter probably was lifted up, Apostle Peter, and was lifted up all high, and they thought he was the next leader of whatever, whatever. And they didn't catch what he was saying. It wasn't saying that Peter, the church was going to be built on Peter, because thank God, well, the church kind of was built on Peter. And that's maybe why the church is kind of weak. And you have to do a study, but the church was built, you know, Peter was the one that denied Jesus 3 times when things got tight. He was the one that walked on the water for a little while, but then lost faith. And I don't even know if he's supposed to be walking on the water, because why you even ask Jesus to go over there if he told you to go somewhere already? Follow the assignment. You look at his lifestyle, and you're going to see it in a couple minutes too. Maybe this is why. Maybe this is why. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. Right? Then he charged the disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. So now we're on another level now. Now I'm talking to y'all in a deeper place, Jesus said. I'm talking to you. I'm not talking to you generic. This is not for everybody. This is not, because he's telling them, you know, we go tell the world. No, Jesus said, don't go tell nobody that he was Jesus the Christ. Yeah, now I'll be pausing. I'll be learning stuff while I'm talking. So I'm paying attention. Church unusual. The only way that church will be unusual is when we learn the nuances of Jesus Christ as the person and learn to function that way. Not religion, not the Christianity of it all, not the hype ritual of it all, but really learn his nuances. There's a lot of things that Jesus said that people don't really understand, and we really don't live by it as a church. There's a lot of things that we do in church that Jesus never told us we should do. They get mad at me sometimes when I say stuff like this, but we worship Jesus so much, and Jesus never said to worship him. They come worshiping him. He said, don't call me good, ain't nothing good but one, that's God. We worship him so much. We call Jesus, come down and do this. Jesus. How many times somebody got to call your name before you had the attention? What if somebody call your name? I'm Kevin. I'm looking at your name. Valencia. Priscilla. And we just over and over. Johnny. Rafiq. Even you will be aggravated. You don't think Jesus feels the same way? How many times do you have to call his name? I'm going to digress on that again, right? But even the way that we do things, Jesus, at one point in one description, we'll show you to, he says, come in a day where you're not going to ask me nothing. Don't ask me to do anything. He said, you're going to go to the Father for yourself. And whatever you ask the Father in my name or my character, that'll be done. Not in Jesus' name like we try to end all our prayers, but the way that Jesus acts, that's his character. The way that he approached God, the way that he did things is his name. Do it in the same manner. When you pray, pray after this manner, right? And we're calling him on to do so many different things, and this is why we're the power is diverted, or the power is displaced. It is on the inside of you, but you won't allow it to come through you because you keep trying to say he coming on a cloud. And this is the problem with church. Even the church rhetoric sometimes preaches more that Jesus is coming more than Jesus on the inside of me. Y'all better hear me. We preach more that Jesus is coming on a cloud than realize that the glory of God is on the inside of us. This is what Jesus says. Don't tell nobody I'm the Christ. I'm going to get back to the scripture. He said, from that time forth, he began to try to tell the secrets. He began to try to tell them, show disciples how that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief of priests and scribes to be killed and raised from the third day. He was explaining to them how this works. All this that Peter jumped out about, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, and kings of the kingdom, gates of hell shall not prevail, thou shalt bind on earth, bind in heaven, what you loose on earth, loose in heaven, and all these different things. This is how it works. This is how the access to this power happens. In verse 21. But clearly didn't understand it because verse 22, here's the same guy, Peter, took him and began to rebuke Jesus. Now, the audacity of you to begin to rebuke Jesus and saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto. And he says, I bet he said, like, no, be it far from thee, Lord. Like he's prophesying or something, right? Be it far, you know what we do in church. Be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee. Thinking he deep, thinking he prophesied, thinking he got a word for Jesus now. He thinking Jesus then gone off his rocker and now he got a word for the Lord. He giving God a word. God, I got a word for you. If he knew the revelation of Jesus the Christ, he'd have sat there and shut up and listened. But self is a monster. He gonna deal with self in a second. Self is a monster. Self causes you not to understand the language of God, or the language of Christ. Self-preservation is the number one monster that we live with. That's why the greatest law and the commandment is to love. What's the greatest law and the commandment? You say, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, and your soul, where there's nothing left for anything else. If you're loving God or identifying love as an identity, God is love and love is God. It says that in 1 John, which means love is an identity. So when I love God, I'm identifying God and I'm identifying with God with all my heart, my mind, and my soul. There is nothing else left of this idea of what I've made of myself. And then the second one, like this, love my neighbor as I love myself. Y'all understand what I'm saying? So self is a monster, and self-preservation makes you to the point where you don't realize a revelation. Self-preservation will keep you from realizing who you really are because you're trying to preserve this identity that's been developed over the years, whether it comes from your background, your last name, I'm looking at your last name, or where you come from, or the color of your skin, or your gender, or all these different things. And now you're so busy trying to preserve this thing that you call life. The Lord told me the other day, he said, we made it too difficult. And y'all catch this. He said, we made it too difficult. He said, we are supposed to, he said, we're joint heirs with Christ. Well, an heir is somebody that receives an inheritance, right? So I ask you a question right now. What do you do to receive an inheritance? You're literally receiving something that you didn't necessarily work for or accumulate, right? The only thing that has to happen with an inheritance is that you have to know who you are and claim it, right? And what they call that is a will. It's written out in the last will and testament. A will says who gets what. And he hit me with it the other day. He said, then he took me to the scriptures. Jesus said, Lord, if you can't let this cup pass me, he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And he told me, he said, y'all been inheriting from your own will and not inheriting from his will. Which is why we have a form of godliness, but they're not a power thereof. Which is why we can say things, but we don't say. We can say, let there be light, but ain't no light showing up until we pray for 23 hours and fasted, and hopefully somebody laying hands on us for something. And the power is diverted because we're receiving from the wrong will. And the only reason you receive from the wrong will is because you think that's who you are and not the will of God. Y'all better catch what I'm saying. Rewind that back and play it again. Yeah, rewind that back. Just go press the reverse and rewind that back and play that again. So here we are, self allows you not. So here he is rebuking Jesus, and Jesus turned to Peter and said, get behind me, Satan. God, dog. He told you from you that you got the keys, now he can call you Satan. And he said, get behind me, Satan. Self is Satan. Self is the steering wheel that gives Satan the grip to drive your life. Self is the remote control that he can put whatever it is on your screen. Self. Self is Satan's key to your being. So here we are now, and he says, get behind me, Satan, for thou art an offense to me. That means you're a stumbling block. That means you're in the way. That means you're about to make me stumble from who I really am and what I'm supposed to be. You're trying to call me out my name. You're trying to make me believe I'm somebody else. Listen to what he said. He said, for thou savest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. Doesn't that sound like the church? I was having a talk with my apostle today, and he says, we've got so many things that have snuck into the church, and we've become a methodical, and we're using our memory more than meditation. And we've allowed out. He asked me about some gospel artists and singing. Most of them songs that we like by some of our favorite little artists are samples. I'm a music guy. That's a sample. One of our favorite little short artists, right, he sings. He don't even sing, but he be leading the group. And there's samples of Earth, Wind, and Fire all day long. So you think you feeling the joy and feeling the spirit, but you just vibing off the hit R&B record that they didn't put some Jesus words on. Over and over and over again, things are sliding in. I'm not got nothing against the Earth, Wind, and Fire. I ain't got nothing against none of the people. But let's put things in perspective and see what's really going on. There are savors of things that be of men more than they say of God. I think God got a new sound that he's trying to do. But he can't do the new sound because you're savoring off the old one. You're savoring off the old principle that's already there. You're savoring off of the way that they think the money's supposed to work. You're savoring off of the way they think education's supposed to work. And you're savoring it. You're validating it. You're passionate about the things that men are saying and not of God. Sounds like Satan. Then Jesus turned around and talks to the disciples, the rest of them, and makes an example of them. He says, if any man will come after me, so, and the word come in the Bible, if you look at it, is not literally like in a direction or moving direction. It means to appear. It means to show up. It means to be revealed or to unveil or revealed, right? If any man will look like me or come after me or be like me or function like me after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. In other words, we can't savor your favorite bishop or your favorite convocation or your favorite conference or who wrote the book that you think is deep and spiritual. Or who got the favorite gospel song that you think got? No, don't savor those things. Don't let those things be the DNA of your life in Christ, because they'll have you acting some kind of other way. Let him deny himself, take up the cross and follow me. For whosoever save his life will lose it. Whoever loses life for my sake shall find it. What profit man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What shall a man gain? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I say to you, there'll be some standing here which shall not taste death till they see the Son of Man coming. You need to rewind this class and listen to it. That's Church Unusual.